The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place that he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
We are happy today to have Lois Stewart. I mean, we're going to have JB also, but I heard he had a fall, right? So he's getting better at home right now. It's probably better for him not walking around. But both of them are celebrating their 90th birthdays, and so they're here with their family and those who gather with them. So congratulations for them. We're especially grateful to have your family members here because you've doubled the size of our congregation tonight. So thank you. In the ancient world, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the ancient world where prophets like Isaiah proclaimed the good things of God, Jerusalem was often seen as the mother city of the people of Israel. The city was God's great gift to his chosen people. If you stayed close to God, he would shower down blessings upon you, your family, and upon the mother city in abundance. The power of the Lord shall be known to his faithful. For St. Paul, being close to the Lord Jesus meant being close to his cross. Paul proclaimed Jesus Christ crucified. He wanted nothing but to be transformed by the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. He believed fully that he was completely conformed to the wounds of Jesus, to his suffering on the cross, and to his glorious resurrection. Things have changed, I think, in our time and age and place. Do we look to the Lord? Do we look to be known by him? Do we conform our lives to his cross? Nowadays, we look for Jesus everywhere, or we just stop and ignore him. And when we may find him, we often stay cautious. We say, but he may not be real. Jesus may not want to do my will. And from the modern human way of thinking, Jesus is now expected to conform to the will of those around him. We are not ready to die for Jesus. we are more ready to abandon him if we don't like what's being preached. But Jesus experienced this very thing with his apostles. I'm thinking of, for example, at the Bread of Life discourse, when he said to everyone there, "I am the bread of life," he said to them, "You should eat my flesh and drink my blood." And what happened? Almost all of them left and went home. Yeah, Jesus experienced this in his time and place. He sent them out in pairs to go and proclaim the kingdom. And in many places, the apostles went, they did not want to listen. The truth of the gospel was not received with joy, but often rejection. But they believed and they knew that this cannot stop the gospel. Jesus desires to be known in the world. Think of this basic Christian belief. Jesus needs to be known. As we think about that, this weekend I want to address an issue that's been on the country's mind, maybe the world's mind, the issue of abortion. But in a broader sense, I want to reflect on the gift of human life. I'm reminded of the power of Jesus and his words in the gospel when he says, "Let the children come to me, do not prevent them." There are so many thoughts, emotions, and ideas surrounding the recent Supreme Court ruling on Roe versus Wade. Once again, the topic of abortion and the many issues surrounding abortion divide our country. But Jesus' words, I think, can be our starting point in understanding the teaching of the church and what the Lord has revealed to us about the incredible gift of human life. "Let them come to me. Do not prevent them." Every human person is created in God's image and likeness. And so I often like to imagine that at some point in the history of the world, as God is creating, he thought of me. He thought of me, and he also thought of you. And as he thought of me, I came into existence. As he thought of each of you, you were created. He formed us, created us in our mother's womb, and placed upon us an eternal desire to seek Jesus. This innate dignity and desire begins at the moment of our conception, the moment we exist. God's plan for our existence is set in motion in this moment of divine will. When God thinks of you, you come into being. And because you still exist here in this church, God is still thinking of you. He holds you in existence because he wills it. God establishes a place for us then within our human life and filled with divine life. He loves us. God's plan for our existence is set in motion in this moment of love. When God thinks of you, you come into being, you are created, you are worthy of life and given a purpose. At conception, we are given human life through God's divine will, At our baptism, though, we are given divine life and spiritually adopted by the Heavenly Father. Within our human life and filled with divine life, God establishes a place for us in the eternal kingdom. That means we are heirs of the kingdom of God. He created us for himself, and we are simply pilgrims on this earth walking toward the Heavenly Father. It is so important that every person is given a chance to live out this dignity, this divine plan, and come to this place in heaven. St. John Paul II, when he wrote an encyclical called The Gospel of Life, he says this about the importance of the right to life. He said, "Even in the midst of difficulties and uncertainties, every person sincerely open to truth and goodness can, by the light of reason and the hidden action of grace, come to recognize in the natural law written in the heart the sacred value of human life from its very beginning until its end, and can affirm the right of every human being to have this primary good respected to the highest degree. It is upon the recognition of this right that every human community and the political community itself are founded." Of course, at the same time we hear this, we know that there are countless dangers, sufferings, and situations that the human person faces every day when it comes to the right to live. Abortion is not the only threat to human life. Mothers who face the reality of pregnancy have many challenges and worries. This news of being pregnant is often received with joy and fear. And while we can never promote or support the direct killing of innocent human life in the womb, we must also do better to help mothers in need. Now, I can assure you that I do not preach this homily and offer these words without consideration of the whole picture. This is a very sensitive subject, a very serious issue, and these are serious issues that we face in our world. Also, as a priest, I am constantly reminded and reminding myself of my duty to care for souls, to care for my parishioners and all who are here, and certainly to care for any person who comes to me in need of help, prayer, and the love of God. It is true, as a society, we need to love and care for each other in better and more respectful ways. It is also true that we must protect life at all stages, especially the unborn. I do not know the answer to all the world's problems, and I certainly did not think I would solve them in this homily. But with that in mind, I think we turn again to other words of Jesus in the scripture where he says to us, "I have come so that you might have life and have it abundantly." That means we must be apostles of life. We are caretakers of this gift of human life at all stages, the unborn, the little child, the young adult, parents and children together, grandparents and godparents, and certainly the elderly who might find themselves alone and in need of love. We must see Jesus in the womb, not unlike the experience of John the Baptist in the womb of his mother, Elizabeth. If you remember that scriptural moment, John the Baptist, within the womb of his mother, leapt for joy at the presence of Jesus in the womb of Mary. As St. Paul says, we must then boast in the cross of Jesus. Jesus carries on the cross the weight, the eternal weight of our sin. From the womb of his mother to the altar of the cross, Jesus conquers sin. St. Paul says, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. In fear, in uncertainty, in all things, we cling to the cross of Jesus and trust in his eternal love. May the grace of Jesus be always with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.